You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with The Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Scott Smith. Scott, how you doing?
Hey, Ken. Great to be here. Doing great.
Thanks, man, for being on the show. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime.
So Scott is an attorney out of Austin, Texas, who specializes in all sorts of good things, structuring deals and helping to put together note deals. And he's, what, about 3 years out of law school, but has, it sounds like, a ton of experience already on the legal side of real estate. Scott, maybe tell us a little bit about how you got started in real estate.
Yeah, so I've been in real estate for quite a while now. The purchase side of real estate was while I was in law school. And it was me and a friend of mine were in law school. He had a family business with transmission and auto repair, and they needed somebody to come in and buy the building. And as well as like a lot of these, deals, as you can imagine, it's kind of throwing lipstick on a pig for what we're doing. But we ended up buying that and running that shop for the last couple of years that we were in law school before we ended up selling it off. And since then, I graduated and did a lot of litigation work with my prior life as an attorney. And now I've been working exclusively with real estate investors, helping them protect their assets from litigation, as well as making sure that the deals that they're putting together are going to be the deal that they think they're getting is the one that's actually reflected on paper, as well as doing my own investing here with, friends, family, and joint venturing with people in the local area.
Gotcha. So you were in law school full time, busting your butt, and you up and bought a transmission and auto repair building.
And I was running the business, and it wasn't a high sleep time of my life. It was
a lot of caffeine. I can imagine.
Me and the Starbucks girl, we became very, very close friends. I didn't even have to order a lot of times. I would just like walk in, and by the time I got to the counter, she would just hand me the latte.
This was your first real estate purchase. Was actually a commercial building.
It was a commercial building, and it was actually two buildings that were right next to each other. And we used one of them for storage facility and the other one to run the business out of. So,
wow.
Usually that's kind of the opposite, right? They usually recommend starting with residential and start small. And we went straight for the commercial and went big and trying to run a business at the same time.
Oh my gosh. And so it worked out. I mean, you ended up selling it. Did you make money on it? How did that first deal work out for you?
Yeah. Well, I paid for law school for the last 2 years of it. And then we ended up selling it after doing a lot of rehab on it. And that kind of helped, with paying off the first year of law school. So it's
not bad.
Wasn't a bad first deal. Although, you always make mistakes on your first deals, but that's part of it being your first deal. There's no way around that.
Sure, sure. So you came out of law school, you sold your first commercial building, and then you went to work for a law firm and started doing litigation for them?
Yeah, I ended up doing litigation, which is great work with law. It's very intense. Kind of work, and it really prepared me for what I'm doing now, which my principal focus, which is structuring all the businesses for people to be able to protect themselves from litigation. Kind of like the flip side of the coin. If I were a litigator, what would be my worst case scenario?
Yep. And so I guess in the process of developing your own company, because you left the original law firm you were at, you started your own company. And what's the name of that company that you work for now that you've created?
Yeah, so the company that I have now is my company. It's called Royal Legal Solutions, and what the focus of the company here is, it's really about being able to take the real estate and asset protection strategies that you're finding with people that have $5 to $10 million in assets, and take them to the common, everyday investor. Getting people started from the ground up correctly, as well as taking other people that said, hey, I actually have something here that I built over a number of years that I have really something to lose, and saying, well, great, well, let's give you the best strategies that exist in the marketplace and not just the standard LLC strategy or the standard type of partnership strategy.
That's interesting. I bet I would just venture to say, and I'm probably guilty of this as well, that most real estate investors probably don't set themselves up to protect their assets in the way that you would advise them to. Is that an accurate statement?
I've never seen somebody come to me that had a strategy that I would say is really great from a legal standpoint. The most of the times what you end up finding is people will get about half of the way there from doing online research. They say, hey, well, I think I might need an LLC, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you might not know about this, and I don't know if your readers know about this, but there's actually ways that you can own real estate and companies completely anonymously. So once you get to a certain level on some of these deals or certain asset portfolio, you start becoming a target for somebody that's worth suing. So at that point, it can almost already be too late, or we have to take some type of more aggressive measures to be able to cloak what investments you have and to put them in small pools of investments so that they're all segregated. So that way, you know, if somebody sues you, they're not going after a big chunk of pie. They're only getting a cookie.
Gotcha. Yeah. I imagine a lot of folks come to you. They've got the LLC set up, but they got 10 to 20 houses all in that same LLC, and you've got you've got exposure probably across all those properties.
You have exposure across all the properties, and what you might not believe it, but there's still a significant amount of people out there that are owning lots of property in their own name, which is the worst way to do it. It's where you're going to have the maximum amount of exposure asking for somebody to file a lawsuit against you. And, I'm always happy to help all those people. Everybody is busy and not everybody thinks about the legal side of thing. It's not the most interesting thing to think about for a lot of people. They really want to make the money. And so I'm there to help them, protect the money, help them keep the money.
Do you also advise from an insurance angle as well, or really more just from, setting up businesses and structures?
All these things actually work together. So one of the things I've been forced to build out is banking relationships and insurance relationships with everybody. Because when you're talking about doing something that's not the standard every day, Scott Smith going out to buy a single family residence through a Fannie Mae loan, well, now you have to deal with people that kind of have a more sophisticated knowledge of the marketplace. So I help people with all those aspects as part of my practice.
And do you have clients, I guess, all over the country, or are you just working with folks in Austin?
All over the country in all different asset classes. And people that are doing, their first single family home to developers that want these really kind of exotic type packages they're doing to people in California who right now are some of the few people in the country where California's passed laws to really make it very expensive for them to have, any type of LLC structure, all the way to people in Canada. I've worked hand in hand with CPAs and other attorneys in Canada for Canadians that have domestic assets. So it really goes over the whole gamut.
Interesting. So in terms of what you're doing yourself in real estate now, are you able to participate in some of these deals that folks are bringing to you, or what's your primary mode of investment right now?
Sure. I'm always happy to look at any deal. I enjoy doing real estate investing. I spend a lot of time thinking about it. So I like to think I'm pretty good at it. And I've seen, quite a number of the deals. What I'll do, I do all different kinds of things with people. A lot of times with, some of the developers will ask, see if I want to put in money. Some of them say, hey, can you advise on this deal? And we'll give you different pref rates and equity kickers and all kinds of that good stuff. But here in the Austin area, it's such a hot area that even if I'm not even doing any of the legal work in the deal, getting in at the right time of the deal, being that person that's kind of known that's willing to put up the first amount of seed money, allows you to take your returns from that 12 to 13% pref rate into the 20 to 25 to 30% return once you start getting negotiating for equity kickers on the back end.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. For you, being, having the ability to do the legal side of things, I mean, that's a great opportunity for you to exchange some of your work, some of your legal expertise for some equity, I imagine.
Right. And what with that comes is, you get to do a small exchange there. But then I also, have a relationship with other investors here in the area, right? Because they're longtime clients, other people I've actually invested with, I've done work with. So, when you have that kind of network with people with you, as I encourage every investor to have, don't just be yourself. Have your own investor pool of people, your friends, that when somebody gets you, you get a great rate. Maybe you get, something special for introducing it to all of your people.
Right.
They say this is the right kind of deal that we should all be in.
Yep. No, absolutely. You're in a perfect position to start connecting different investors as well, bring them together.
Yeah, and it's great. I enjoy doing it too. I'm first and foremost, I don't love doing paperwork. I love going and talking to people and sharing with what I know and talking with them and connecting other people together that I think would be, good people for know each other that we can all, work together on.
Absolutely.
On different things.
So let's talk about, it sounds like you've done a lot of work for other people. What would you say is your best deal ever? Or maybe what's the best deal that you've seen kind of come through your office?
Yeah, so I'd say one of the best deals ever is not one, unfortunately, that I couldn't get involved with because I would have had a conflict of interest between the developer and the client because they were both people I'd done work for.
Okay.
And I don't like to, it's not something they'll say, we can waive it. And I said, don't worry about it. You never want to get involved in those kind of situations as an attorney advising on both sides.
Right.
So, but it was a deal that it was a $12 million development deal here that my client ended up putting $250,000 in. With the inside of the first year, they guaranteed him a pref rate on the return on money at 15% that they would then roll into the Class A stock for the overall development, which is the equity, and continue paying him on his underlying contribution. So I think at the end of the day, when that development finishes, hasn't finished yet, we calculated that if even with the most conservative estimates that he was going to pull a 40 to 45% return on his money, but with inside of a 2-year period, and have it all securitized by the deal itself. So the developer was actually willing to give him powers of attorney that if there was ever defaults on any of this underlying loan, that he would get to be able to have full control of the project, full control of all the bank accounts, et cetera.
Holy cow.
So it was one of those deals. I said, great, we get an awesome return. And he's like, Scott, are you sure about this deal? And I said, well, how can it really go wrong? I said, if anything goes wrong on this deal, we get to put in our own guy. And I said, that's really our worst case scenario, is that we would have to take over the project. But that's not as bad as most worst case scenarios where you lose everything.
Right. Know? Oh, yeah. I'm assuming like a private placement type deal?
Yeah, it was private placement.
Yeah. Where in most cases, right, if the deal goes south, sorry, investor, you're out whatever you invested. But in this case, it sounds like there were some pretty awesome protections built in.
I'd say if you do it right, and that's why I think it's really important for everybody to get in first on deals. Everybody is really slow to want to get into the deal, mm-hmm. any particular type of deal. Make sure that you can get your money out. Like if the deal doesn't go through or if things are dragging too long, negotiate those terms. But if you're the first one in, you have incredible leverage over the projects because they right now they have nothing but an idea that's on a piece of paper that they've already spent money on. So the natural human instinct is to be really not panicky, but they're really wanting that first set of money to come in to legitimize their deal. And the terms that you get for these deals are worse the later you get into the project.
Sure. Sure. Once it's been stabilized and the risk is somewhat eliminated, then yeah, you're not going to get the same types of terms. So your client then that put in 250 grand, he was the first one in?
The first guy in. Yeah.
I gotcha. And the development's going smoothly so far. Looks like it's going to pan out.
Yeah, development looks like it's going great. With all these things, it always helps to have somebody that's a seasoned attorney and in the field that's working with you on all of these because there's issues that can happen that you can't really foresee even from like the governmental level. So, one of the things that ended up happening in this thing is that there was an issue with the permit. Well, it so happens that at this dining club I belong to here in Austin, which is 4 blocks away from the Capitol, that I happen to know a lot of people that work in the permit office over there. Well, if you know how to navigate the bureaucracy correctly, what can be a potentially huge problem that can delay a project by, a month or 2 months can get resolved in, a much more expedited fashion, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Man, I need to be on your short list for development deals in Austin. My gosh, 40 to 45% return on investment in under 2 years. That's not too shabby.
Not too shabby. And those aren't deals that happen all the time, of course. But you'll see common places to see pref rates here of 13% per year. And then being first in the deals, you can get those, I want that extra, 2% equity kicker, 3% equity kicker on the back end.
Right.
Which gives you which on, you know, if you're doing the $11 million projects, that can be a hefty chunk of change.
Sure. Absolutely. And most of these types of projects, what, turn over in a couple of years or less?
Yeah. You do a couple of years and you're working with developers that aren't, you know, Joe and his brother who are trying to fix and flip a house.
Yeah.
You know, these are guys that are accustomed to putting together a large, very large proposals, very organized, and, you know, not just kind of professionals in the field. Like they usually have a very, very established track record. So right. If you're going to be putting serious money into the game anyway, I'd say, you know who's on your team, what sure. kind of project you're doing.
Yep. All right. So Scott, so where can folks find you? Obviously, I think what you're providing is a service that a lot of investors need in their business. I know the name of the company is Royal Legal Solutions, but what's a website? Where can folks reach out to you?
Yeah, it'll be royallegalsolutions.com. Okay. Or you can always email me directly. It'll be at Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at royallegalsolutions.com. Or you can always call at 512-757-3994. And I'm happy to talk to anybody about, you know, what they have going on with their investments. And I offer very, you know, affordable types of pricing options for people on if they just need general legal advice or if they actually need to establish companies for them or just review deals. And I think it's a great way to, you know, I'm always looking to build more long-term relationships with people and build out, you know, who all my investors are as like a big investment pool is my real long-term goal with doing the legal work. So, if anybody needs help with looking at any of those things, I'm always happy to talk to you.
Absolutely. And again, folks, it's royallegalsolutions.com. We'll put it in the show notes as well so you can find them. And hey, maybe you can end up being one of the clients that, you know, makes 40 to 45% on their money by working with Scott, right?
Yeah, you never know. It's the right deal can always come along for anybody.
That's right. Well, Scott, thanks so much for being on the show. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right, Deal Farm Podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini. I am changing up our special offer. I bought like 200 and some t-shirts with Deal Farm logo on it, and I need to get these things out of my house. And so instead of doing the Facebook and the Twitter and all that stuff, all I want you guys to do is go to iTunes and leave me a 5-star rating. That's it. You leave me a 5-star rating on iTunes and just email me through the website with your name, address, and your t-shirt size, and I'm going to send you a t-shirt. Again, the only thing I need you to do is go to iTunes and leave me a 5-star rating. Thanks, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Deal Farm.